Dearly beloved at Granville this morning, May the 6th, I am with you in spirit but not in the body, and I do hope and pray that the message on tape will be helpful to you. May the dear Lord direct your listening ear and open your heart to receive the message. We are praying with you that the Lord will soon send you a pastor that he can bless and make a blessing to all of you and to this community. I'm sure you all know as well as I do that it isn't good to be without a resident pastor, so we hope that a pastor will soon come this way. Amen. But today I will just sing a couple of verses to you, and the name of the song is Drifting. Drifting carelessly with the tide, drifting over the waters wide, with no captain your course to guide, drifting over life's sea. Drifting, drifting, no port in sight, drifting far from the gospel line. Lest you go down in the stormy night, drifting over life's sea. Drifting on with no shore in view, think not skies will be always blue. Storm and shipwreck will come to you, drifting over life's sea. And then the last verse. Drift no longer, let Jesus say, let him guide you across the wave, lest you sink in a sinner's grave, drifting over life's sea. Drifting, drifting, no port in sight, drifting far from the gospel light, lest you go down in the stormy night, drifting over life's sea. Now, dear Father, we pray thee to bless the word that we will consider this morning. We pray thee to help us to understand these things and respond to thy word, that we might be blessed by it and for thy glory and praise. Amen. The theme that I have chosen for our consideration today, I have called Difficulties of Those Who Disbelieve. You know, there are an awful lot of people who do not believe in the Bible or in Christ or even a creator. To such people, I would like to say, just suppose that all people should give up the Christian faith. What would we have instead? In other words, there are people who have already substituted something else for Christianity and for the gospel. And what is that? It is anything from the worship of gods made from wood, stone, metal, and paper to gods conceived in the minds of selfish, ignorant, even educated, but gluttonous and godless people. All people are worshiping something, even if they do not know it or want to admit it, because man is a religious being and must worship something, although it is not always looked upon as worship. And in this respect, there is no difference between the ungodly rich or poor, intelligent or ignorant. It's simply this, that they disbelieve in the Bible and in anything that is spiritual or religious. Then there are a lot of people that do not know that if it were not for the sun, there would be no moonlight. So are many people who do not believe in the Bible, and many of these are even educated to a remarkable degree when it comes to natural things, and yet they are so ignorant that they do not know that without the Son of God, Jesus Christ, this world would be in heathen darkness all over the world without exception. So that without the Son of Righteousness, there would be no spiritual light in this world whatsoever. No light to guide us through a sin-darkened world. There is absolutely no substitute for the Christian faith. And just suppose that we give up the idea of God, a creator, a providential God and Father. Suppose we give that up even. What then? There's a story told of an Arab one time that lost his way in the Sahara Desert, and he soon ran short of provisions. In this few days he was facing starvation and thirst, but before he collapsed he discovered a paper bag in his belongings, full of something he could not remember what. But as he held it in his hand, he tried to imagine that there was food in it, and thought maybe it would satisfy his hunger. But it didn't. Finally, he opened the bag and found that it was full of pearls, rich, yet dying for want of food and water. It is a picture of what is happening every day. Men and women have substituted costly pearls, riches, pleasures, luxuries, and what have you, for God Almighty, who in love sent his only begotten Son into this world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you disbelieve in God, you must also disbelieve in Jesus Christ, because Christ is the one that reveals the Father. And if you disbelieve in Christ, you are not only starving to death spiritually, but you are already dead. And the only hope of life is Christ, the very one whom these disbelievers reject. And the scripture says, "And you, being dead through your trespasses, did he," that is Christ, "make alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." If we give up the idea of God and Christ, how in the name of truth are we going to explain the existence of good, the transformation of human wrecks to angels of light? The existence of all things would be unsolved without Christ and our God. Even nature, the scripture says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show of his handiwork. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. There, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if you have understanding, who determined the measure thereof, if thou knowest it?" So if you disbelieve in God, and how are you going to explain the existence of the universe, the sun, the moon, light, darkness, seasons, clouds, the universal ocean, the earth, the millions of other planets, and what about life itself? Without belief in God, and I don't mean just as a supreme being, but in an intelligent, loving God, such as the Bible proclaims, without belief in such a God, these things would, many more, cannot be accounted for. Everything would be speculation. And you will find that that is just exactly what too many are doing today. It's just speculation because of their disbelief. Then suppose we give up the idea of the future. There are a good many people who believe that when you're dead, you're dead. Is that logical and true? What is death? Bible says, man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? Does man's life end with death? I should say not. He simply giveth up the ghost, the Bible said, the soul, the spirit, which cannot die. There is an awful lot of people who are going to be dumbfounded when they come up in eternity, raise up, and find themselves living a future life in hell. Just suppose that we give up the truth about the future life. What then? Please note our text. In verse 68 and 69, verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? That is, will we also deny the truth because we cannot understand all things? Then Simon Peter answered and said to him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Yes, my dear people, God's word is the truth, and perhaps no man ever stood in worse dread of death than the late Alfred Krupp of Prussia. He is perhaps better known as the Cannon King, who was literally a manufacturer of death. In his factories, every employee was strictly forbidden to talk about death in his presence. One time he fled from his home because a relative of his wife had suddenly died there. When he returned home after some time, his wife just happened to mention her relative's death, and Mr. Krupp became so enraged that they separated for life. At last he was found sick unto death, and when his physician came to him, he offered him $1,000,000 if he would prolong his life 10 years. But money nor anything else could sustain his life any longer. God alone, who gives life and who takes life away, can do anything about these situations. What about Thomas Edison, great and wonderful as he was? Yet death was a thing that he feared more than anything else. Why? Simply because he, like many others, had given up the truth about the future life and about the truth of God's word. Yes, it is perhaps human to fear death, but why? Ordinarily, the fear of death is the result of disbelief in Jesus Christ. As well as disbelief in God, because you cannot believe in the future life apart from Christ. Because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. What are you going to substitute for the truth about heaven, about Christ, and about God's word? If you give up the truth about the future life, there is absolutely nothing left, my friend, that can be substituted for heaven. If you think so, you are being deceived by Satan himself. So we hope and pray that Pastor Anderson, when he comes here, will be able to convince people in this community, in this congregation, that they have something in the Word of God to offer to every needy person. And believe me, friends, we are a needy people. What would we do if it were not for the truth of salvation, that a poor sinner saved by faith in Jesus Christ and through faith inherit the kingdom of heaven? Even the heavens that we see with the naked eye is glorious beyond human description. Think of how beautiful the heaven will be itself. Isaiah says, "Thine eyes shall see the King," that is Christ, "in his beauty. They shall behold a land that reacheth afar," and that is the land of heaven, the planet maybe, possibly where God himself dwells, where there is peace, where there is no more war, no more pain, no more sickness, and even death will come to pass. If we could travel with the speed of light, which is about 185,000 miles a second, it would take us about 4 years and 3 months to reach the star Alpha Centauri. But how long will it take for a Christian to reach heaven, where Christ is? It will simply take up the time between birth and death, for when a Christian dies, his soul is immediately transferred to heaven where Christ is. The body goes back to dust and awaits the resurrection, when the new body, the glorified body that Christ has promised us, will be united with the soul, and we shall be with the Lord forever. Didn't Jesus say, "In my Father's house are many mansions? If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also." Believe me, my dear friends, this is God's truth, and you will never be disappointed in putting your trust in that Word of God. Then last but not least, suppose we should give up the Bible, shut it up, throw it away, burn it, or just do away with it. Do you think you could find a substitute? I'm sure not. Not only that, but what would become of a nation without the influence of God's Holy Word? What would the United States be without the Church of Jesus Christ in this nation? Believe me, folks, this nation needs to come back more and more to the Bible and to fill our churches with worshiping people, with people who are seeking the true God, for there is none other, manifested in Christ Jesus. Yes, our nation would be a nation lying in heathen darkness today, which is much worse than a nation infested with crime, but not without Christianity. We realize that the United States of America is not what it ought to be, and yet what hope is there without the Church of Jesus Christ, and without our Bible, and without our Sunday schools, and without our Christian societies, and everything that we are doing in order to bring about a transformation in the lives of countless millions of people, even over the whole world. So So without the Bible, you would have no faith in the Almighty God, the loving God, a gracious God, a merciful God, who will indeed bring destruction upon the ungodly, upon the rebellious individual who does not want to believe in him. And for them there is no forgiveness of sins, no comfort in times of sorrow, no hope for the future, no Christ, and no salvation. How can people continue to deny God's truth and expect to be happy and expect that the world is going to be a fit place to live in? No understanding of how the world was made, how man was made, nor how all things exist as they do today. No other explanation for the cause and effect of everything. There would be no satisfactory understanding whatsoever of things as they are without the Word of God. Then what we find in the Bible, God's holy book, really and truly brings joy and happiness to all of us. So we're not surprised that when Simon Peter answered the Lord, and I repeat, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. We have some very interesting words just preceding our text, and we would like to use some of this in closing. For example, in verse 63, it says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But, Jesus says, there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. We are living in a day, whether we realize it or not, when man is criticizing God's word. This, of course, is done in ignorance. Modernism, for example, is criticizing the word and trying to distort its meaning. Modern cults are perverting it, and the world is neglecting it, except in places where this Word of God is just penetrating anew. There are many tribes and many nations in the world, in South America and all over in Africa, where people are being opened to the Word of God as it comes to them for the first time. There was a Dr. W.H. Griffith Thomas who once said that the word discerner in the Greek of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 should be translated critic, so that it should read a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And he added, it is the only place in the Bible where the word critic is found. And you notice that it is the word criticizing us instead of the modernists criticizing the word. So if we allow the Word of God to criticize us a little more, we would criticize it a great deal less. Please permit me to give you just one more illustration before we close. John Richard Green, who was one who believed in the social gospel and emphasized reformation instead of regeneration, he left the Oxford halls in England and went down into London's squalid, sin-trodden slums. There he labored earnestly and unstintingly for a decade, Despairingly, however, he said, well, it's no use. These men will go on drinking and gambling until doomsday. So defeatedly, he went back to Oxford to write his History of England. But then down into these self-same squalid, sin-sodden slums went William and Catherine Booth, with hearts aglow with the love of God for sinful souls and with only one gospel of the grace of God. They lived and preached Christ to these unfortunate men living in the slums of London. They found out that the power of God unto salvation was the only thing that would save these men, and they won. The story of their labor of love became engraved on the hearts of twice-born men and women, gloriously delivered from sin's ruin and wreckage. They were a new creation in Christ Jesus. So it's no wonder, my dear people, that Simon Peter said to Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Oh, if people only knew what the Lord Jesus Christ can do for them, they would flee to him for help and for comfort in time of sorrow and for salvation full and free. Remember, the word of God says that the wages of sin is death. Eternal death, separation from God forever. Not only sin and misery in this life, but in the life to come throughout all eternity. But on the other hand, the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then let us not forget the words of the Apostle Paul in the 8th chapter of Romans, when he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We finally conclude that the unbeliever is constantly fighting a losing battle with himself and with the world at large, and the way things are going, mankind needs God. He needs, the world needs the Lord Jesus Christ desperately. And let us not forget the words from our epistle text today in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, where it says here, but and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, that is the evil, the unbeliever, neither be troubled. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And woe be the day when God's wrath will be kindled just a little because of the evil in our day. And yet, on the other hand, we put our trust in God. We believe in Him, and we know that in Him we shall be victorious in the end. And even in the meantime, we know that without God and without Christ, without the gospel and without the Church of Jesus Christ, where would we turn for help in time of need? He is the one that will lead us to victory. So the Lord bless you and help you to put your trust in Him in the days ahead. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Praise God, from whom all blessings come. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Well, it means that you bring your body under the discipline of Christ. It means that you become a nonconformist. Everybody wants to conform today. Whatever everybody's wearing, that's what all the young people want to do. They're afraid to be different. But when you come to Christ, you've got to be willing to be different. You've got to be different intellectually. The scripture says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind.